I'm just now opening up my mic and turning it on, so that's probably going to help the upstairs people work a little better. I've had a lot of caffeine this morning, so my mind is spinning pretty rough. It's always an interesting thing to come back to work after a couple of weeks away, and what a great day to come back into work. First of all, to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, but more importantly, to the celebration of our graduates. You know, Cooks breeds them smart here. And we've got some smart kids that are going away and have finishing some things that we want to celebrate. And so we will do that today, and what a joy it is to do it. And I've forgotten, I don't do the announcements up here anymore. Gotta keep with the changes, right? That's it. I've been gone too long. It's easy to go back to old habits, right? Thank you so much for all the positive feedback we heard about the preachers over the last couple of weeks that filled in for me. I bring you some good news, though. Even though that many people had suggested it, I will be abstaining from singing during the sermon. I will not be undertaking that. That is not a gift that God has given me. We've got some exciting things going on at the church today to keep aware of. First of all, the Cooks Cares cooking class is today at 3 o'clock in our fellowship hall kitchen. Today, I'll be teaching either how to make gumbo, so if you like Cajun food, that'll be good, or a couple of appetizers, some sausage balls or some stuffed mushrooms, and we'll see. So just come with some flexibility, and we'll see which one of the two I do. But the more important things are what follows. The more important things are the prayer team. Now, remember, we've got a new ministry that is really all about learning how to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're doing that by teaching a class on how to operate with excellence in our prayer room and how to be a real force for Jesus Christ in the world. And we look forward to that. Then after that, we have our adult Bible study, which Freddie is teaching at 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Guys, that is just such a sweet fellowship and time. I encourage you to come and participate in that. And then the thing is, not only do you get a great lesson, but then we go and sample what the culinary crew put out for us. So we get a nice little lesson, a nice little taste, an appetizer before dinner, if you like. So please come and join us for that. Next Saturday, gosh, there's so much going on. Next Saturday, June 8th, is Cook's Auto Show, which will be held in our parking lot. Registration is from 8:30 to 12, and showtime is from 9 to 2:30. Admission is free, but we do have a need. This is an all-hands-on-deck kind of event. Last year, we saw close to 100 cars. We're doing some promotion. We may see even be more than that. And so if you have time on Saturday morning and aren't already signed up, please let one of our volunteers know, or just show up and then say, what can I do? We'll find something for you to do, believe me. Cook's Bakers, remember that part of it, we'll be having that Bake Good show. In fact, that would be a good thing to have done for, anyway, Cook's Bakers, make sure that you have baked goodies to sell at the auto show, so please do that. Audrey Brady told us last Sunday we're having a summer cereal box drive during the month of June, July, and August. Your donations of new boxes of cereal can be placed in the collection bins at the Narthex in the lobby. The cereal will go to the Nourish Up food banks to help family in need, and we'll make a domino chain through the sanctuary with them with the kids. The beautiful flowers today are in honor of the center of our family, Kathy, and in recognition of her retirement from a lifetime of dedicated service to her employers. She did it all, home, work, family, advisor, and sports mom, and we are grateful for her every day. Love, Reg, Garrett, and Bailey the dog. Even Bailey is in on it. Is that good? Okay, those are the announcements I have. We have an admission focus. Is there any other announcements, though, before Fred comes up, talks to us about the auto show? Sure.
In each bag of quarters, we put a card, thanks to Susie Hager, and it just has our church name, address, phone number, and it always says, with love and grace. Audrey Brady suggested that we have it put in Spanish as well, because a lot of the customers are Spanish-speaking. So we did that, and it paid off. We had a gentleman who didn't understand what we were trying to do. They always think we're trying to sell them something, and we're really trying to give them something. And so Kelly Harper flipped the bag over and touched the back of the card, and he realized that's what we were doing. We were trying to help him rather than sell him. So thanks to Audrey for the suggestion, and it's working. And we appreciate all your quarters, always. Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to add to what the pastor said about the car show, and it's actually this week. It's Saturday, so June 8th, so that's this week. And he did mention the time, 9 till 2:30, and there's going to be a bake sale. Baked goods need to be turned in. The donation for the bake sale needs to be turned in at Fellowship Hall through this side door on Friday from 4:30 to 6:30. So I just wanted to make sure you knew those details. This tradition started in 2002, and of course we had to skip 2020 like we skipped everything. I think the world actually stopped turning for a year, didn't it? So this is the 21st anniversary of the car show, and it is true. We had 97 cars registered last year. Now that was an additional 25. There was 72 cars registered in 2022. And the thing of it is, we had a lot of folks that brought hot rods and great-looking classic cars and trucks and didn't even register. So this event draws a bigger crowd than any other event that takes place throughout the year on this campus. So this is the biggest. And it's a wonderful opportunity to share Jesus' love just by smiling and talking to all these visitors and remind them that we're open on Sunday, okay? And let them know that you and your church appreciate them being here. And for those in here that's never been to one of our car shows, you need to. You need to come check it out. My brother Steve, I love the way he put it. He said, I always love to come to the church's car show because there is always a lot of really nice cars. And that's a good way to put it. Nice cars, nice people, winning combination, right? Just a couple words about logistics, though. The show cars always take up this entire west parking lot, and some of them even have their favorite parking places, so they'll be here real early. And last year with the crowd we had, it overflowed, and they took up, wouldn't you say, more than half of this east parking lot, Dale? That's about right. Yeah, we're going to have to. So we're going to block both parking lots. So what that leaves us is we'll have to park down on the lower side of the east parking lot, back where the playground is. And where, James? Park in that field. And there's gravel for the first few feet and then that field. And if we don't get torrential rains, it shouldn't be muddy. The ground's pretty stable. Okay. So... Yep, that's true. So if you can, what we'll probably do, Lou and I'll park over here across Cool Oak Drive, maybe in one of those doctor's office parking lots and walk. But if you can't walk that far, we understand. We'll get you in here. These flyers pretty much tell the whole story. And for the last few years, I've just taken a picture of it and text it to all my friends and family, and they appreciate that. So with a church parking lot full of beautiful old classic cars and trucks, our bake sale, wonderful oldies playing by the DJ, hot dogs and hamburgers, and wonderful friendly people to host the event, what could be better, right? What could be better? So just pray for a safe and successful event and good weather. Did I leave anything out? Is there anything else we need to mention? Yes.
I could use one or two more hamburger flippers.
Burger flippers. So, yeah. Okay. We'll see Dave for that. Dave List, if you can help out or just show up, like the pastor said. Okay. I hope to see everybody here Saturday. Yes, Mike.
I'm in charge of the parking this year.
Okay.
We're looking all, for all of you, 55 and below. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Yeah, everybody knows that's tricky, that part. All right, great deal.
This time we'd like to honor our graduates individually, and we'll have the Hunter family come forward as we celebrate Gavin and his wonderful graduation from Mountain Island Charter School, right? Which was on Thursday, was it not? That's awesome.
Yeah, you won't take this. Good morning and welcome to Cook's Church.
Good morning.
Today is a wonderful day where we get the chance to celebrate our graduates. And I can tell you for sure they have made some many accomplishments that we should all be very proud of, and I know their parents are. So to tell you a little bit about Gavin. Gavin Hunter is the son of Sheldon and Emily. He graduated from Mountain Island Charter School this year, where he was in the National Honor Society, lettered and banned all 4 years, and was a member in the Mountain Island Charter Wind Ensemble. He also lettered in golf and varsity baseball for 2 years. He was part of the UNC Charlotte Honor Band. Gavin was awarded many awards. Gavin was presented with the President's Award for Education and Excellence, Honors Medallion for Academic Excellence, North Carolina Academic Scholar, North Carolina Scholar Athlete, American Citizenship Award. Gavin was also inducted into Mountain Island Charter School's Senior Hall of Fame. Amazing, isn't it? Gavin will be attending Appalachian State University in the Hayes School of Music, majoring in Music Industry Studies, with a concentration in marketing and promotions. He auditioned and was selected for the Marching Mountaineers as a member of the battery and will be playing on the percussion line. Let's congratulate Gavin and his family.
Well, this is such a big day that we think it's incumbent to have a word of prayer. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for Gavin, for his efforts in school, as well as with his music, as well as his sports. And Heavenly Father, we know these are all blessings and gifts that you've provided Gavin. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the care that Sheldon and Emily have given him all these years, preparing him for what lies ahead. Father God, we know and trust that your Spirit will continue to be with Gavin as he moves forward. Surround him in your watch, care, and your love as he dwells there at Appalachian State. Keep his days safe and his nights filled with study and the fun that will come. Gracious God, surround him in your protection and in your love. Just be with his parents, relieving their anxiety, for they know that their son is safe and secure. Father God, all things are yours, and to you belong all glory. And we make these prayers in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congratulations.
And while they're going back to their seat, I will make a mention that all three of our graduates actually attended here in our Cook's Play School, just to you guys know that. Pretty amazing. Our next graduate we'd like to honor is Emma Kennedy. So Emma is the daughter of Andrew and Nikki. She graduated from Lincoln Charter High School this year, where she was in the National Honor Society on the A Honor Roll all 4 years, National Beta Club, president, founder, and volunteer with the Four Kids Club, and she was also in the Interact Club, in the American Sign Language Club. She was an officer with the DECA Club, on the Eagle Advisory Council. She was a starter on the junior tennis team and a starter and captain on the varsity tennis team. She volunteered as a middle school tennis coach as well as the teens teach technology. Emma also won many awards. Emma won the John Splane Service and Leadership Scholarship, the Golden Eagle Award, Scholar Athlete of the Year, and MVP of her tennis team. Emma plans to pursue a degree in biology from NC State and then further her education going to dental school. Mm. Let's congratulate Emma.
I put your hands on your shoulders. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, what a day to rejoice over the accomplishments that you've provided for Emma. Bless her, Father God. We pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would attend to her in her days in Raleigh, keeping her safe and attended to her studies. Heavenly Father, allow her to succeed in college as you have allowed her to succeed in high school, filling her with every necessary energy, insight, and gift required. Heavenly Father, be with Andrew and Nikki in their worry over Emma and relieve their fears, knowing that they've raised her well and that she's safe and secure. Be with this entire family, keeping them hopeful and happy in the days to come, knowing that Emma is doing so well. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers in your name. Amen.
And our next graduate is graduating from college. So let's welcome Alexis Lexi Matrone and her family. So Alexis Lexi Matrone is the daughter of Michael and Tammy and granddaughter of Bev Weldy. She graduated from UNC Charlotte, magna cum laude, completing her four-year degree in 3 years, and majored in political science with a minor in psychology. Over the years, she has volunteered at Shining Hope, which is a facility which provides equine therapy for children with disabilities, and is an avid horse lover and also enjoys baking. Lexi has acquired a full-time position as talent support coordinator with the Compass Company here in Charlotte. Let's congratulate Lexi.
That's so exciting. Compass is a great group to work for. It's wonderful. May I put my hand on your shoulder? Okay. Let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, just what a blessing it is to have Alexis with her, with us here in celebrating her graduation from UNC Charlotte. Go Niners. Father God, we just pray that you would bless and surround her with your watch care and your love, keeping her safe. Be with her parents as they worry, relieving them with the sure knowledge that she's safe and her studies attended to, or her work attended to, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, bless her in this next endeavor in life. Prepare her for gainful employment in the world among the adults. And Heavenly Father, we know this will be an easy transition, for she is truly prepared through you. Heavenly Father, bless this child of yours and this family. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. It's exciting.
We want to wish all these graduates a bright future and abundant blessings from God. Thanks to all of you guys.
Thank you.
Good morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Let us join in their song of praise.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty God, we gather before you in awe and reverence, grateful for your presence among us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who empowers and guides us in all truth. As we come together to worship and seek your wisdom, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive your holy and everlasting word. Help us to be bold witnesses of your love and grace, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to the very ends of the earth. Strengthen us in our faith, unite us in our purpose, and fill us with the courage to follow your calling. May our lives reflect the glory, your glory, and bring honor to your name. We pray this in the mighty and strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and sing with me hymn number 84. First John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, that we in fact deceive ourselves and that the truth cannot be found in us. The good news is that God tells us that if we confess our sins, that he will remove from us all uncleanliness and bless us lavishly. And so we do confess using the words that we find in this morning's bulletin as the means by which we confess corporately, then leaving silent time for us to inwardly in our hearts confess our sins to God, only to erupt into the great good news that we are the forgiven people of God. So let us go now, confessing our sins. Join me. We come before you, confessing our sins and seeking our mercy. We have often failed to recognize the power and authority of Jesus Christ, and we have not always been faithful witnesses. Forgive us for our doubts and shortcomings. Renew our hearts and minds, that we may live boldly for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the great and wonderful news of the gospel. By the waters of our baptism, we're assured of a wonderful truth, that while we were yet sinners, God chose instead to save us through the sacrificial life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Now and ever shall be.
We now affirm our faith using the song, We Believe. Please be seated. At this point, we'd like to invite the children to come down for a time that's special just for them. That's it, understood. Sorry.
Spirit.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. God of all wisdom, as we prepare to hear your word read this morning, we remember that while your word never changes, we are new each time we hear it. We pray that you'll open our hearts and minds so that we're ready to listen for a new thing this very day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're reading scripture today from 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 11. And that can be seen on the screen or on page 359 in your pew Bible. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Our New Testament reading is the beginning of the book of Acts. As the newsletters and everything pointed out, I'll be preaching on Acts for the next 12 weeks. I'll also be teaching it in the summer Sunday school. So if you missed it this week, please be sure to join us next week. We're still in the introduction, and so it's a good time to start that class. The reading, though, from the text is Acts 1 through 11, and I read it now. Hear now the word of our Lord. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he was given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as they went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you in heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." You know, I think it's pretty apparent that for some reason, and I don't quite know it, I missed the "I enjoy exercise" gene. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get a scintilla of it. If you've got it, God bless you. I wish I had some of it. I just don't. And for that reason, I have to work with a trainer who comes and tells me what to do, because if she doesn't, I don't do anything. And that's a problem. But we do these little things called circuit. It's a circuit training, and it's about five different exercises. You blow through them really fast. But see, the thing is, you're going to do them multiple times, right? You know that going in. Well, Cassidy, that's my trainer, she never quite tells me how many cycle circuits I'm going to have to do. And so I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and then at some point she'll say, "Okay, today we're going to do 3 reps. Ah, thank goodness. When she says 4, I kind of complain, to be honest. But anyway, it dawned on me that we all, when things are difficult or not quite where we want them, we all want to know, when is the suffering going to end? When's it going to stop? What's the date of the termination of this thing? And I realized I saw another example of this, and I talked to Natalie and asked her if I could share with it, and she said it was okay, so I will. But when one of our children was born, there was a little bit of a complication, and poor Natalie had to push for about 3.5 hours. It was an incredibly arduous ordeal for Natalie. And as Natalie was going through it, she was trying to talk to the doctor, and she would say to the doctor, she'd say, "How much longer? Are we almost there?" And the doctor, I guess doing doctor stuff, doesn't really know, because this doctor just kept looking with this big grin and saying, "Oh, sweetie, you're doing so good. Sweetheart, you're doing wonderful," right? So Natalie tries that about 4 or 5 times in this ordeal, and then she realizes she's not getting an answer, and I'm standing right there. And so she starts looking at me, right? When's this going to end? When's this is over? I looked at her and smiled with my biggest and toothiest grin, and I said, "Sweetheart, you're doing great." It's keep going. Natalie, in that moment, wanted to know the answer. When is this going to end? When does this stop? When do we get off this train? And given the circumstances, it's completely understandable why she was there. Believe it or not, in a very similar vein, in a very similar way, the disciples and the apostles that are gathered with Jesus there after the resurrection and after the 40 days of Jesus appearing and eating with them, they had a question for Jesus that they were very desirous of knowing the answer to. They wanted to know, is now the time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? It was a very important and pointed question. And it's one that was birthed out of a prophetic hope. You see, the people of Israel, the people that were the ethnic Jews, were living under the oppression by the Romans, and they had been for at least a generation, and it had no signs of stopping. But you see, in the Old Testament prophetic literature, we're given the image of a Messiah that would, in fact, restore the kingdom to Israel in a way that was misunderstood and misapprehended by the disciples. They were looking very clearly for the resumption of Israel's power in the world. Now, look, historically, you got to know, Israel is on a land bridge between two massive size of land areas, which happen to be populated with, over time, various enemies of the people of Israel. And after Solomon's reign, if we'll remember our biblical history, the kingdom of Israel splits into two, and they're nowhere near as strong. And then being on this land bridge between the Seleucids and the Alexandrians, you saw over and over, time and time again, people coming through Israel, conquering it, and then the next wave coming and doing it again. And this time, it was the Romans. And the Romans were particularly odious to the people of Jerusalem, and there was a reason for that. The Romans did a number of things early on. First of all, they sacked the city, but secondarily, they sacked the temple. Now, that means they went into where the Jews thought God resided, and they took stuff out of there that was valuable. It was desecration to the Jews, and it led to the fragmenting of the Jewish population into a number of different political factions. We might hear some about those as we go through this sermon series, but right now, what's important to know is that the people were unified in their desire for the time of Israel's suffering to end, so they come to Jesus and they ask him, is it now? Will now be the time? And Jesus doesn't give them the answer they want. What they want to hear is that, yes, the kingdom will be restored to Israel, the Romans will be conquered, and you will be living at the top of the ancient Near East pyramid of power for the next millennium. That is unfortunately not what they heard. What they heard was a little bit of a rebuke. It's a rebuke we've heard before. You know, oftentimes when we read our Bible, we come to this awareness that time isn't infinite. That according to the Bible, this is a set and finite time, and eventually it's going to come to an end. And that's where a whole lot of crazy thinking can come, sometimes take place. Because a lot of people can come in and get so wrapped up around when the end is coming or what the signs of the end are going to be that we completely miss that Jesus has told us to do something entirely different. If we'll listen, in the Gospel of Mark, in 13, we hear this very clear from Jesus. And he's speaking about the end. He says this, "But concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in the heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And so what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." It's very clear. Prognosticating about the end is beyond our pay grade. We, however, the people of God, that is, are given something else. Well, and it's actually something better. Something better than knowing when the end is actually knowing what precisely you're supposed to be doing until the end arrives. And that's exactly what Jesus gives them. He says, you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. First to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. And what we're going to see in Acts as we probe through it over the next 12 weeks is we're going to see that followed out entirely. The gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took flesh in order to save us from ourselves. He, in fact, accepted a sinner's death, a prisoner's end for us so that we would avoid the end of sin, which would be the punishment of our sin in hell. And Jesus has removed that from us by his sacrificial act on the cross. And that, dear friends, is the good news that fills us with the desire to go into the world with that message on our lips. You see, as Jesus speaks to these apostles and disciples, he's very clear. He wants them to know that that they do have a mission, and that is to be witnesses. We're caught up in that, you and I. We're part of these witnesses as well. It's almost as if this particular section of Acts sets up like something in a television drama where they break down the fourth wall. The fourth wall isn't a term used in television when the characters start speaking directly to the audience. You've broken down the fourth wall. This passage is one that I hope we hear as though we were seeing a scene in which Jesus turns and not looking at the disciples, but looking us in the eye, square, directly, and says to us, you, that is Jason Bryant, you will be my disciples. You will be my witnesses until the end of the earth. That's the mission. And let me tell you this. That's an impossible mission. That's mission impossible. You can't do it. But I also want to point out to you something paradoxically true. We're here worshiping the Lord. It isn't the case that this gospel message should have continued beyond the walls of Jerusalem. It's impossible that it broke past Samaria and into the world of Rome were it not for one particularly important but. Because after Jesus gives us the bad news, no, wondering about the end is not your purview. He gives us the best good news. But you will receive power, right? What he's talking about, he's mentioned before. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that we celebrated with Tom Labonte 2 weeks ago as we celebrated Pentecost. We continue in our awareness of it today and how it moves and speaks to us. The Holy Spirit is absolutely a comforter. The Holy Spirit is absolutely that power of God that speaks to you in those dark nights of the soul that says all is well and all shall eternally be well. But the Holy Spirit's primary function is actually to testify, to witness to Jesus alongside of us. The Holy Spirit is the power that engages the world around us with the desire to share the best news the world has ever heard. You are not going to die. You will, in fact, live forever in the kingdom of God beside Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, beside your brothers and sisters in Christ. You will dwell luxuriously and without end because you believed in Jesus Christ. And guess what? You believe in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has already come into your heart and spoken. It wasn't you. It never was, never will be. It's all gift, all grace, all good. And that Spirit is the one that's in us, telling us, leading us out into the world to share with the good news by whatever means we have. If we can be kind, we'll be kind. If we can share words, we'll share words. But everything from us, from our marrow to everything coming out of our pores, is Jesus Christ and how he lived, breathed, and died for us and for our salvation. And friends, when the church gets that Spirit like it had in Acts, we will see a manifold coming of others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, out there, is the greatest mission field the world's ever seen. I think it's better than even it was in the first century. Why? Because we've got all the same problems. We've got sadness and sorrow and sickness and despair, and we've got a political season that we all want to see the end of. And yet into that mire comes the strong and dedicated word of our Lord Jesus Christ that says, no, you are greater than that. You have a mission, and I'm sharing with you my Holy Spirit. Everything that's me is now you, so that you can do one thing, to go and share the sweetest, most loving, most wonderful news. You can look somebody in the eye and say, gosh, I've got good news. God loves you, really loves you, And I know that because he sent his son to die for you, for me, for all of us sinners. And when that message becomes resonant, when that message becomes the center point and focal point of your life, you will see not only your life change for the better, you will see this church swell with numbers. The gospel is infectious. And when it's preached and proclaimed, men and women will come. And we'll see that time and time again as we study in the book of Acts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord all of those people who are suffering, sick, who are finding their ministries disrupted by troubles or loss or mourning. So let us pray. Wonderful and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just come before you today asking for you to bless us, to share with us your Holy Spirit as you've promised to do so. Allow us to fill with your power, to fill with your compassion, and to fill with Jesus' love for others. Father God, we thank you for the way that you move in our lives, the way that you touch us and send us into your service. And so, Heavenly Father, in that service, we lift up to you those peoples whose names are on our hearts. We think of Elena and pray for her and her struggles. We pray for Sarah and for Jill. We pray for Pat and Johnny. We pray for Charlie and Nancy and David and all of those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you all of those members and members, friends, and families who are on our prayer list, knowing and embracing the idea that while we may not know what troubles them, that you do, Father God, and that you are preparing your word for them perfectly, that you are sharing with them the fullness of recovery, that you are also lifting them, mind, body, and soul to you to let them know that they are loved and eternally so. Father God, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come now into a time of our giving and reflection. So there are QR codes in the pews if you'd like to give that way, or if you have a check, you can leave it on the way out. But let's dedicate a moment where we think of that. Come to the end of our service as we consider and continue to think of the ways that God is moving us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We think sometimes of wanting things to end. We wonder when it will end. I think the Spirit comes to us asking us the question, when will you begin? When will you begin to explain to the world the joy that exists in your heart because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the more and more that that bubbles up in you, the more and more you'll see smiles breaking out around you, and more you'll see people joining us here in the pews. Friends, after the service, don't forget, we've got an awesome and sweet time of prayer. If you need a prayer, if you have an intercessory prayer or somebody that you need or want prayer for, or if you need to dedicate your life again to Jesus Christ, we've got a great place for you to do it. It's the prayer room right behind us. Other than that, Everyone else, please feel free to stick around and just let's celebrate these graduates and all that they've accomplished. They certainly, we heard the list. This is an accomplished bunch. So let's celebrate and enjoy their presence. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.